Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas! And now, another Christmas song!
You know it's Christmas. From my family to yours, happy holidays.
Shut up!
Shut up!
Shut up!
Shut the fuck up!
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry!
Hello, Larry!
Hello, Larry!
Hats off to Larry!
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Come on, Larry. Larry. Larry.
Ah, that's the sound, the cacophony of holiday commerce. Car dealers with their Christmas sale-a-thons, traffic jams at malls, Amazon deliveries swiped by porch pirates. The same nine Christmas songs on a continuous loop wherever you go. It's amazing more people don't snap. I happen to love Christmas, all of it. Well, some of it. Well, I like the story and about that baby in the manger, and I like the old Santa Claus, the one from the Coca-Cola ads up until the, I don't know what, late 50s? Before Creepy Creep started distorting him for their marketing and political agendas. This show, by the way, you are listening to That Larry Show, and I am Larry. It's inextricably linked to Christmas. This show was launched by a song parody I did around Christmas 2016. I did it for the hell of it. No agenda, none. When it was finished, I really liked it. I've written dozens of song parodies, but this is the first and only one I have shared with the world. I never liked Peanuts. Not Charlie, not Lucy, not the dirty kid or the piano playing kid. I love dogs. I love dogs more than most people. But I didn't even like that dog. They were all phony. Unattractive cartoon figures with adult personas and disorders and neuroses. Authentic children can be funny as hell, same as authentic canines. Why put disturbed adult brains in their heads? Charlie Brown never, ever made me laugh. And even people who did find him, quote, humorous, unquote, which is the weak sauce version of funny, huh? Those people never, ever belly laughed at Peanuts. It was chuckles and chortles. Well, you can get those by looking behind you when you stand up from the toilet. Kind of like rom-com movies. Are they ever really funny? Fuck no. Well, maybe The Wedding Crashers was, but I'm not really certain that qualified as a rom-com. Since Charlie Brown was clearly a manic depressive, or whatever the updated nomenclature is, what is it, bipolar, whatever, Charlie really didn't have a legitimate reason to be depressed about anything. He had youth, he had health, he had parents, he had a nice home and a dog and many friends. Was Charlie ever hungry or in danger or cold or abused in any way? No. Charlie was just a damn snowflake, a big little shithead who never stopped thinking about himself. Unless it was what? Didn't he have a crush on some redheaded chick? Well, he should have just grown a pair and asked her out, for Christ's sakes. So I got this arresting idea to help Charlie escape his self-inflicted misery with a song. A swan song. A musically assisted suicide. And I am very, very proud of that song, and here it is.
I think there must be something wrong with me, Linus. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel.
Oh, Charlie, that's terrible.
I just don't understand Christmas, I guess. I like getting presents and sending Christmas cards and decorating trees and all that, but I'm still not happy.
Oh.
I always end up feeling depressed.
Oh, Charlie, listen. I've got a way to make this all better. Let's go get you in a warm tub and Let me sing you a little song.
Christmas time is filled with pain. It never snows, it only rains. You never got those electric trains that Santa promised you. You're only 8 and filled with hate. An outcast no one likes. Snoopy's dead, so let's move ahead. It's time to end your life. You wear the same Crayola shirt. Each day is just the same. You're nearly bald and melon-shaped. You've never won a game. Here's a fistful of Nembutal. Just take them one by one. Soon you'll find you're somewhere else. It's less messy than a gun. No more Lucy, no more school, no more gloomy days. Put your head back and close your eyes and fade into the haze. Good night, Charlie. Goodbye. Goodbye now.
Bye. I had been toying with the idea of doing a podcast for a long time. And after that song, I thought, what the hell? I'll keep riffing on Christmas insanity. And that's how episode number 1, Charlie Brown's Assisted Suicide, was birthed. This is episode 232, and there have been more than 24 bonus episodes on top of that. I suppose, on some level, I have old Charlie to thank for it all. But I'm still glad I helped him exit the planet. In that first episode, I compiled a list of the worst Christmas songs ever recorded. Number 1 was, and still is, the Charlie Brown Christmas Song, the most depressing funereal dirge ever recorded. Christmas has just become so insane. And it's more than the usual things people complain about, the commercialism and consumerism and the dilution of the holiday. I have my own list of beefs about the holidays, beefs you may not have heard, but you'll probably share. Every year I get invited to a few parties at friends' homes, and I've noticed a disturbing trend that I call pissing by candlelight. And this is surely some chick idea. You walk into a bathroom, a guest bath if the house was sufficiently capacious, and what is normally a fully lit crapper has been transformed into a boudoir without the bed. It's completely lit by candles. Why? You are there either to drop a deuce or wring out a kidney or both. Yet the room is lit and art directed for sex. Why? It also smells like a hooker's hanky. Well, not that I'd know. But once your eyes adjust to the dim light, if you haven't already pissed on your own shoe, you will discern a bowl of potpourri, which is another total chick thing. I bet in the history of the entire planet, no male has ever purchased a can or a bag or however it is they sell that stuff. A shithouse should have a can of Lysol on the toilet tank as a suggestion to use if you've befouled the room. I don't know if or how a soup bowl full of wood shavings and crushed daisies does the same thing. What does potpourri even mean? Well, I checked. Pot is the same in English and French. Pourri means rotten. So what they're doing is masking one rotten stench with another rotten stench. I might suggest everyone who goes into a candlelit bathroom with potpourri just misses the toilet and pee in the potpourri bowl instead. Maybe that'll put an end to this silly trend. Next on my Hella Day shit list is mall and department store Santas. I can recall sitting on a few of those guys' laps, and their breath could knock a buzzard off a shit wagon. Why don't they issue those guys mouthwash, along with the ratty Santa suits? Oh, and something else that always bugged the hell out of me about them. Santa Claus is supposed to be from the distant past, hundreds of years old. Why is he wearing an eye watch, or any watch at all? And I've seen them with tasseled loafers or hardware on their instep or patent leather Doc Martens. At least they should try to dress the part, those lazy bastards. This next one has been bugging me for the longest time. Inflatables. Nothing says, I really don't give a shit about Christmas, like a blow-up snowman or Santa Claus or reindeer or whatever. And why can't they make those damn things airtight? Nobody ever runs the air compressors during daylight, and the deflated decorations look like enormous fiesta-colored condoms strewn all over lawns. But at least those inflatables are in some way related to Christmas. Lately, people are throwing any branded shit on their lawns, and they think somehow that qualifies as a Christmas decoration. Like Dodger shit. I saw a guy with his whole lawn covered by Dodger figures. What has that to do with Christmas? It's not even baseball season. At least put Tommy Lasorda in diapers in a manger. Give it some gossamer connection to the holiday. Right down the street from Yuletide Dodger House was the Pokemon Christmas. What would a Christmas be without Mary, Joseph, and Pikachu? What the fuck is wrong with these people? By the way, I'm not making this up. I have pictures of all this stuff on the show page at thatlarryshow.com. See for yourself. Lots of people are doing polar bears. Aren't polar bears the religious neutral holiday cuddly avatars for Coca-Cola? Indeed they are. The Coca-Cola website looks like Amchitka pre-nuking. Why, there's even a family of sweet polar bears, each with a name that sounds vaguely Inuit, but might actually be as meaningless as the names of Toyota automobiles. Each bear has his very own profile, beginning with Kasaki. I'm going to read this in my Casey Kasem voice, because this sounds exactly like the shit he used to read in American Top 40 before he died. There's Kasaki, king of the Arctic, sovereign of the snow, father of three and loving husband of Sakari. He's happiest when hanging out on the front porch of his iceberg while taking in the northern lights. I'm not so sure about that. I betcha Kasaki is happiest when tearing the head off some juicy, screaming baby seal. And splattering that iceberg with blood. If there's anything left over after Kasaki scarfs down the blubber, liver, and kidneys, maybe he'll leave some bone and gristle for his beloved spouse, Sakari, and the cubs named Zook, Jack, no C, and baby Kaya. A polar bear is essentially that monster from the movie Alien, covered with white fur. It's one of the most ferocious predators on the planet. You know, the government's always sticking its nose into advertising, right? All those mandatory disclaimers for everything from apples to Zoloft. Why don't they make the same fast-talking guy give the kiddies the lowdown on polar bears? Consumers, take note, polar bears, though depicted by the Coca-Cola Company as warm, fuzzy, and friendly mammals, are in fact ferocious predators who tear their victims apart and gnaw their guts out in plain sight of children. Parental discretion is recommended. After the polar bear warning, maybe they could do one about Coca-Cola itself and obesity, type 2 diabetes, and tooth decay. Somewhere along the line, Coca-Cola traded in the pudgy little gift giver in the red suit for anthropomorphized carnivores. They dropped Christmas and made it the amorphous holidays. After you click past the fuzzy cute bears and delve a little deeper into Coke's website, things go from white fuzzy fur to brown bullshit as they virtue signal just as hard as they possibly can. We believe the Coca-Cola Company's purpose is to refresh the world and make a difference. It's uniquely us. It's why we exist. And it's needed now, more than ever. Making a difference is why Coca-Cola exists? Hey, don't they sell Coke for money? I never mentioned that. How odd. In New York's Central Park, they still have a zoo. A zoo that used to be free but now costs something like $15 to visit. And in that zoo, they used to have a couple of polar bears who probably died of heat stroke on some hot and sticky August night. But once in a while, I would venture in there at feeding time, and the zookeeper would come along with a load of raw chickens. They were plucked, but otherwise fully intact. And it was funny as hell to watch because he'd fling those chickens to the bears, and the bears would damn near swallow them whole. I can recall some halfwit behind me asking the zookeeper,
"What about the bones?"
like the bears pull out a Ginsu up there in the ice floes and debone them. People are funny. Any Christmas now, I expect marketers to offer high-traffic homes money to do product placement along with Christmas. They're already doing it for free. Can't you see Merry Kotex, Happy Goodyear on people's lawns? I attended a Christmas party last year at a multi-million-dollar home in Los Angeles. And the party was BYOB and BYO food. Grow the fuck up. That shit's okay for students or somebody that's struggling. But if you've got more than 9 bedrooms and an Olympic swimming pool, go buy a fucking pizza and a couple cases of PBR. But there were candles and potpourri in the shithouse. Christmas was so much better before the Shutterfly Corporation automated bad taste, narcissism, and overkill in one fell swoop. For years, those hideous Christmas letters were horrific enough. Surely you've received one, you know, about 3,000 words, recapping the Shabizzle family's many achievements over the past 12 months, all of it hyperbole and outright bullshit. Daddy got a big promotion, which means they moved him from laundry to license plates at the state prison. And Junior's at an Ivy League institution, which means he's making lattes at the campus Starbucks. And now, these hideous Shutterfly cards have replaced those puke-inducing letters. A mosaic of dozens of postage stamp-sized images documenting their every event over the past year. Baby Tristan taking his first dump. Dad changing a diaper. Emily's graduation from preschool. And so on. In the history of the world, there are only 3 tolerable Christmas movies. It's a Wonderful Life, primarily because of Donna Reed, who is extremely pointy and hot. Next, Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase. Never was a big fan of Chevy's, but his Clark Griswold every dad is spot on. And lastly, A Christmas Carol. There are multiple versions of that. The best is with George C. Scott. And a close runner-up is the 1951 version with Alistair Sim as Scrooge. Why hasn't anybody been able to make a good Christmas movie in decades? Now let's see, is that 10 things about the holidays? I don't know. I'm a writer, not an accountant, a word guy, not a numbers guy. And I have some words I am thrilled to share with you. Since I began this adventure, people have been haranguing me. Larry, why don't you have guests? Why don't you interview people? Why don't you share your microphone? Well, that can be unsanitary. And secondly, with over 150 hours of content, I've had a lot on my mind, a lot to say. And I figured if I ever did break format and have a guest, it would have to be a sensational guest, somebody not only famous but outrageous and entertaining and enlightening. And so, in the very near future, I will bring you my interview with tycoon, digital pioneer, and madman extraordinaire, the last great American outlaw, John McAfee. Here's a sample.
I'm loving this, John. You know, my podcast has a mantra, a mission, if you will, a three-word statement. That is, take no shit. You'll see over my shoulder here, there, TNS, take no shit.
Ah, all right.
Okay, yeah. And my listeners who are overwhelmingly male, are very much want to know what you are. Clearly, you hold a 10th degree black belt in the art of not taking shit.
Well, I thank you. I think that's a compliment.
It absolutely is. Yes.
I thank you very much.
and so
I got to remember that one.
Oh, it's yours. And I'm speaking to you right now. This is the Take No Shit Dojo in Los Angeles, California.
Well, first of all, here's something advice. If you start taking shit from people, just because it's convenient or less fearful or less painful, then the world is going to shit on you more. This is how it works, people.
People at most get 10 or 15 minutes with John. I spent the better part of an hour with him, and he was amazing. He named names and divulged things he has never before. So I'll be posting the McAfee interview in two audio episodes, and the video will be available only on Patreon. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Slide over to the show page at thatlarryshow.com for more content and commentary, and while there, click a subscribe button. Apple, Android, whatever you like, it's absolutely free. And if you want more, like over 30 bonus episodes, signed books, custom recordings, and McAfee's video, well, that's only available if you click the Patreon button. Write to me at thatlarryshow@gmail.com. Follow the show on Twitter and Facebook. Just plug That Larry Show in the search bar, you'll find it. Since Sinner's Sunday and next week's episode are right on the doorstep of Christmas, I'm going to sort of merge the two for a more traditional Yuletide listening experience. I'll see you Christmas Eve. And until then, take no shit.